Shit.
Hello, 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 everyone. It is your favorite coach, Erica Janelle, and I am here with another episode of Relationship Talks with Erica Janelle with one of my best close friends of double-digit years, probably over 20 years now, Miss Annette Barbie. Hello, Annette.
Hello, my darling dear. How are you?
How are you this wonderful Sunday?
Well, outside of it, doing some things outside, I'm doing all right.
Well, we are going to talk about something that, you know, I love to talk about. Mm-hmm. Sex. Okay, so this series, hello, this series is called Let's Talk About Sex. And this is our first session of this series. We're going to be talking about all different aspects. I'm going to have a panel of guests coming in the future where it'll be males and females. And we're going to talk about kind of where our perspectives of sex are from the male perspective, from the female perspective. But for today's first session, I wanted to talk about women being able to own their sexuality without fear of being judged, without preconceived notions based on what society says about how we should view sex, how we should, you know, handle our sexuality as women. And I specifically come from the standpoint of a Black woman, because I feel like in our society, there are so many stigmas that we have to overcome. I can only talk from my perspective as a Black woman, because I am a Black woman. And so I want to kind of talk about kind of how the world views sex and some of the things that we have been taught through our upbringing and by society and societal norms and values, and kind of what we need to learn to push ourselves to create our own idea of how we identify sexually and what we are comfortable with sexually. And so I'll start. From my perspective, I feel like as of 2023, this is the time where I feel like more and more people are willing to openly embrace their sexuality. Whereas before, in generations past and times past, it was viewed as a kind of a taboo situation where a lot of women were made to feel like if you were talking about sex, you were a whore, you were a slut, you weren't, you know, being a classy woman. And we are no longer settling for what society wants, or the picture that society has painted about the woman's role in sex. We are now getting to a place where women are openly embracing their bodies, they're openly embracing their sexual energies and their desires and what they want out of sex. And so for me as an individual, I've always been my own person. I follow the beat of my own drum. I don't follow other people's rules and norms and mindsets. Of course, you know, when we were younger, you know, we all had that foundation of how we should view sex and all of those things. I am a woman that I still value my body. I still value who I share my body with. That's just my personal, my personal desire and my personal stance is I don't sleep around. It's just because that's just who I am. I feel like when I give someone my body, it's valuable. It's precious. It's something that I don't just share with anybody. And I am not a person that typically will sleep with more than one person at a time. I generally am pretty loyal to one person. That's just me. That's how I'm wired. I'm not a person that likes to have a bunch of different partners and do a bunch of things. I like to be sexually explorative and as nasty as possible and as free as possible with my person. That's me. But a part of owning my sexuality was understanding that you desiring sex, you wanting sex, you talking about sex, you expressing to your partner what it is that you desire in the bedroom is totally normal, is totally natural, and it is healthy. And it is one of the missing components that I think a lot of people don't have, because they won't have these conversations prior to getting in relationships. And then you're stuck with somebody that's not sexually compatible with you. So that's my perspective. So Annette, please feel free to kind of share your perspective on this topic.
Well, first of all, let me preface what I'm about to say with excuse the jewelry here. I couldn't get my system audio to work, so I apologize in advance. But other than that, the one thing that I heard you say is it's liberty and preference. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a lot of shame involved still when it comes to mm-hmm. sex. And I don't think that you should be ashamed. You shouldn't be ashamed of what you like. Now, of course, within reason. I mean, if you, mm-hmm. you know, stay away from the kitties, something's wrong with you.
Stay
you
away need from to get children. Help.
Stay away from kitties and animals. Thank you. You know, it's a little bit much, but mm-hmm. and it's you know, it's just I don't think we need to talk about that. But
yeah.
Other than that, you know. Do what you are at peace with in yourself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're not at peace with it, then don't do it. You know, you should have liberty to do that. And you shouldn't allow people to tell you how you should be. I think the biggest issue also is that there's a quote that I read not too long ago, which is if you don't deal with your childhood traumas, your relationships will. And, mm-hmm. you know, you have to deal with it, whatever that was. And if someone, you know, took that away from you and violated you, whether you were a child or even as an adult, and they took that away from you, your choice, because to me, when you are violated, your choice is taken away, your choice of how you feel in your body, mm-hmm. your choice of what intimacy and sensuality, your choice of what an orgasm feels like, your choice of what mm-hmm. it feels like to be aroused, because now what's planted in you is this shame and this discomfort, and that's not the way God intended it to be. It's a very natural thing to have your body mm-hmm. awaken to those desires, but when you have your dignity and your liberty taken away, and in this case to me violently, then you have a very hard time. So that's really how I feel about it. I think it's very important for people to be free. I'm talking free in terms of what you want. I mean, you mm-hmm. shouldn't put yourself in a box, and you shouldn't define like today I am, you know, I am today and forever I am, you know, heterosexual, you know, I only like certain people, and because your body may awaken to something else. And I think that's what people are scared of as well. And if you go and you look at things like the Kinsey scale, it does kind of scare people, because it's like, mm-hmm. you know, how do I feel, you know, and is it really that you're looking at what tradition tells you, or are you looking inside of yourself and saying, what do I like? What interests me about people or about this particular person, and being afraid of that? And that's the biggest thing as well. It's like, I know people out there are probably going to be like, oh my God, I'm not gay. Well, I'm not saying that you are. But what I'm saying is that you look at the situation with some women and some men, particularly women, and I won't name any names, but, you know, women, celebrities who get married to other women. And mm-hmm. it's not that, you know, and it's not like that they're putting a label on themselves. It's like, I just happen to fall in love with this person. Mm-hmm. And people should be open to that without shame.
Absolutely. And you touched on so many different points that I want to kind of piggyback on. So I want to first of all talk about your initial experiences with sex. You and I both have been through some trauma growing up in our childhood that we are both dealing with and have dealt with to some extent. And I think when your sexual experiences, your first sexual experiences are something that is of an abusive nature, it automatically makes you feel like sex is dirty, or it's bad, or it's filthy, or it's something wrong with it. And so what people don't realize is when you are a victim of sexual assault of any kind, whether it be just molestation or whether it be actual penetration, it takes something away from you that's natural, that is supposed to be viewed as a natural, normal thing.
Yeah.
And as you grow and as you heal and as you evolve, you know, what you desired in your 20s may be different from what you desire in your 30s and 40s and 50s and so on. And I know for me personally, I remember, you know, when I first started having sex, you know, it was so taboo or such a bad negative thing for women to have oral sex or have, you know, go down on a man. It was always something that was viewed as such a nasty, disgusting, disrespectful thing.
Sure.
When in actuality, when it's a partner that you're with, that you're comfortable with, that you enjoy sharing and exploring each other's bodies, you know, it's a beautiful thing when you get to just be free. And I can honestly say in my own personal experience, I've literally only fully been free with one person in my whole life at almost 44 years old. And it took me all of these years to get to that place because I had to come to terms with the fact that sex is not nasty. Sex is not dirty. Sex is not bad. It's not a negative thing. Sex is how we reproduce, but it's not just meant for reproduction. It's also meant for pleasure.
Sure.
And when you start to discover and come in tune and into connection with your own body and what your desires are and what makes you happy, what makes you orgasm, what makes you please, what makes your curls, your toes curl, that is the time when you really get to really truly know who you are. And until you get to that point, you're never truly going to be comfortable sexually.
Your toes ain't gonna curl.
I just,
you don't get to the point where you know what you like, and it's a constant evolution of discovery. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get to the point where you are actively participating in that, mm-hmm. There was one guy that I was dating, and I said this to him, and I think it probably took him aback, but I looked at him and I said, "You're not responsible for my orgasm. I am." Which means that I have to make it clear what I like.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's not just laying there and letting him, you know, be in control. And mm-hmm. what I mean by in control is also expecting for him to give you something that you should be
pushing for yourself.
There is this awful stigma that we grew up with where it's like, even they've had it on television shows and stuff, and they talked about it in songs where, you know, he ain't hitting it right. I'm like, did you tell him where you wanted to be hit? I mean,
yeah, I'm gonna need to tell him what you want.
You know, did you tell him what? Because, you know, unless he has some God-given power that he just knows what a woman wants, No, I don't think that you can blame him for that. You are responsible for that. You're responsible for telling him what you like. And it's like, mm-hmm. if you don't like laying down with your ankles up in the air, you need to tell him that. I don't like my ankles up in the air, and I don't like my feet behind my head. I don't like it. I don't do yoga while I'm doing sex. It's not for me. You know, you might just like traditional missionary with your, you know, you might not like that. Some people are exhibitionists, and they like mm-hmm. to be out in public, and they don't mind mm-hmm. like, you know, let's do something daring, like in the public pool, or, you know, let's do something
where you can
know.
Get caught. Yeah
it's like there's an excitement for some people with getting caught. And mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, if that's what turns you on, that's what turns you on. Now, you know, you get caught by the police, you know, I can't help you. But if that's something, if that's something that you're into, it's like there are people who are really into that. And mm-hmm. so bottom line is, I talked about liberty and freedom, but the other thing is boldness. And it's like, mm-hmm. You need to be bold. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, probably there's some people out there who says, I don't want to be bold. I want to be modest. Okay. Be modest then. There's somebody out there who likes your modesty. Mm-hmm. But I think there's even boldness in your modesty, because you have to be bold to be modest. You have to say, I'm not going to do this. And I'm not, there's a boldness. Yeah. There's a boldness even to being modest. It's like, I am mm-hmm. not going to take it to this level. I am not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that. If that's what you're into, then maybe you should find someone else who's sexually compatible. I think that's the other issue, is when we talk about mm. liberty and freedom and boldness, we also have to talk about compatibility, because some people are not monogamous. They like the polyamory. They like the more than one.
Right.
They even like more than one mm-hmm. in the bedroom. And if, again, you're not into being adventurous like that, and you have somebody who's constantly broaching that subject, I don't care how much you love them. That doesn't mean anything, because and what I mean by that is, you can love them till death, but sex is important, and you have to find out from your partner how important it is to them and what they like. And if you find that yourself constantly compromising, and you're not happy, and you feel filthy and dirty with the things that they like, then that person's not for you. And absolutely. I don't care how much you love them. That's important. I think that's why early on, you need to talk about that. You need to talk about what you're into. I don't think it's inappropriate to talk about that stuff, because I need to know up front, what are you into? Because they might say, you know, they might say all kinds of debauchery and sadomasochism. If you're like, okay, bet, I want to whoop your ass, then that's great. But some
people, no comment. Anyway.
Some people don't like to get their ass kicked in the bedroom. That's just the truth.
It's what they like. And you know what? It doesn't make you weird. It doesn't make you something wrong with you. It's what you like. And it's being comfortable. And you talked about a key thing. Two things. Communication and compatibility. And I go even a step further and I talk about connection. And the reason why I say I've only been sexually free with one person, because I've only experienced connection one time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you have a true connection, I literally never had to tell the person that I have a connection with what I like sexually. Mm. It was like our bodies just knew each other. We knew each other like we had seen each other or experienced each other before. Yeah. But that is so rare. Mm-hmm. And it's so, when you've experienced it, you'll recognize it, because it's so something that you don't get all the time. You probably may get connection with the person maybe once or twice in your life. Mm-hmm. You don't get this every day, but mm-hmm. chemistry is something that is more common. Mm-hmm. But even with chemistry, conversations are so crucial, because you have to be able to be honest and upfront with your partner and say, hey, this is what I like. This is what I need. This is what drives me and turns me on and makes me desire you and makes me desire to be with you. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I had to, in many of my previous relationships, I've had to be honest and say, well, I don't like it when you do this, but I do like it when you do this.
Yes.
I like it when you do it this way versus that way. I realized that the way I am, I'm very bold in the bedroom. I'm very explorative in the bedroom. I believe that when it's my person, our limits are whatever limits we choose to set. And it's our personal business. I'm not out here broadcasting it in the street. We do what we do because it's what works for us. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to judge or tell somebody their guidelines for what works for them. There are plenty of couples that are perfectly fine polyamorous. There are a lot of people that are monogamous, and whatever works for you.
Yes.
I am never going to judge somebody's relationship dynamic. Same with same sex relationships, mm-hmm. whatever turns you on and drives you. Who am I to judge to say what's right for you? Mm-hmm. And who are you to judge to say what's right for me? As long as you are consensual adults and you're doing what works for the both of you, mm-hmm. that's all that should matter. And it is not about what society says. It's not about what anybody says is right, wrong, or indifferent. It's really about what works for your dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah. And healing is a big mm-hmm. one. And
oh,
and
yeah.
Healing and really forgiving yourself if you've ever been through anything. And it doesn't have to be that mm-hmm. you're molested. It doesn't even have to be that you're raped. But I think when you allow yourself to compromise in the bedroom or sexually with someone, you're really actually almost in a way sexually assaulting yourself, because you're opening yourself to something that you don't want to do. And now mm-hmm. you just allowed yourself to be violent, unbeknownst to that person. They enjoyed it. You're like, you know, you might even feel like throwing up. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. I hated that. And now here's the compromise. Did you like it? You know, it was good. That was good. And you're like, yeah, yeah. And then what are they going to want to do? They want to do it again. And
so you're constantly, you're not being honest.
And you're lying. You're lying to yourself. Mm-hmm. Therefore, to me, you're a lot of ways you're assaulting yourself, and it's bad. Ooh, it's bad for you to do that. You know, don't do that to yourself. Don't self-inflict. You deserve just as much pleasure as your partner does. I'll never forget. There was a guy who, one guy that another guy I dated, and I had you, it's also great to have friends that you can really be frank with. You should mm-hmm. have a sexy friend, you know, you should have a friend who you can really talk raw to and be honest with. And yeah, you're my sexy friend. You're my freaky friend. I could talk crazy to you. You know, you talk crazy to me. You just talk crazy. You know, you need that. You need somebody who can say, you know, his cum tastes really sour, girl. You need to talk to him. You know, his diet is wrong. Diet something. Life. Yeah, it's like, oh, you know, you need somebody to talk to about that. Mm-hmm. And they'll help you and they'll give you the courage to, you know, say you need to talk to them and you can do that. And yes, I said come. So, you know, if this is not for this conversation, this is not for the faint hearted.
Grown ass podcast.
The grown ass conversation. So, but the guy that I was that I dated, you know, I remember our first date, we kissed and, you know, that was it. Did nothing for me. And I'm one of those people. You have to, and it's not so much, I don't like when people say that people can't kiss. It's not that they can't kiss. They just don't kiss you the way you want to be kissed.
Exactly.
And somebody else likes the way they kiss. Let them be with somebody else. And I used to think I was shallow because when you know, after I parted ways with him, or I remember going into my place and I called my friend, and you know, you call your friend, how was it? Da, da, da. And I'm like, and she had to pull it out of me because I was like, maybe I'm being shallow. And she said, what is it? And I was like, well, it started out okay. And then
and then you were slowly trying to give her the story. And she's like, girl.
And she was like, tell me what happened? And I said, I didn't like the kissing. I just, you know, it was like kissing a lizard. And she said,
oh.
And she said to me, and she said, if that is not something that you found desirable, then that's not your person. And you can say, now you can say, you know, oh, that's just being shallow and, you know, you need to learn how to work with it. No, I'm tired of women feeling like they need to compromise.
No,
we are not. Look at me in the camera. We are not desperate. Do not act desperate. If there's something about his teeth, if there's something about his nose, if there's something about his eyes or something about
him. Or the
way
he smells or the way he does something.
Or his breath. His breath. It's breath, breath, breath. If you know you're going on a date with somebody, take care of your hygiene. You don't go on a date smelling like you just got up out of the bed or BO and simple chronic halitosis, as they used to call it. Don't do that. Don't do that. And so if if you don't think enough about yourself that we go out on a date and the other thing, it's like rule one in that, do not. Go out on a date and you eat things like with garlic in it and things that you know that you might want to kiss this person later on. It's like, oh.
Unless you have gum or some Altoids.
Gum don't even work.
The curiously strong mint.
Gum don't even work. You know, onions that cook some gum's ass. I don't even think, I think even Altoids are out the park. It's like, not a good idea. Don't do that. I've made that mistake before. It's like, oh yeah, eating and talking. Oh yeah, you know, damn, I'm eating onions. Oh, next date. You know, it's just, and some people don't mind.
Kiss you on the second date.
But you know, it's so interesting.
Yeah, it's so interesting that we feel obligated to try to work with things. And I'm not saying be unreasonable. See, there's a difference between being unreasonable and non-negotiables.
Yeah.
So